My Lord, what is this world coming to? What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the situation room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I, anyone, try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted that you have tuned in this morning and be a part of our broadcast this morning. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on some edification, try to edify you, try to strengthen you, try to encourage you, and give you something to little gas in your tank to try to encourage you that you can keep on keeping on. And today we have a wonderful preacher, a pastor, is going to come today, and he's going to speak to us today on suffering. Jeffrey Johnson, Pastor Jeffrey Johnson, out of Eastern Star Baptist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. He's going to come and preach to us about making sense of suffering, making sense of suffering. Get close to your radio and listen.
Listen, I believe in victory now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. There's a word from the Lord in the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 6 in your own private time with God. Read all of this very short letter that Paul wrote to the believers at Thessalonica that make up the context of what I know God would have for me to share with you on today. But I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Listen to what God's word says. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. So you receive the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. I want to preach about making sense of suffering. How do you make sense of the evil, of the suffering, of the devastations, of the crisis that many of us face in the world and in our lives? That's what the believers at Thessalonica were trying to figure out. On one of Paul's missionary journeys, as he has this vision of a man saying, come on over into Macedonia and help us, he believed that that was the Spirit of God calling him to carry the gospel into Europe. So the gospel of Jesus makes it to Europe for the first time in Macedonia, thus here in a city called Thessalonica, a large city, 200,000 people, big city life and all of that. And the theologians argue as to how long Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, how long they stayed there. There's an argument about that, but it is no argument about the success of ministry they had there. Lives were changed, souls were saved, the difference was made, a church was planted, people began to grow and develop in their walk with God. Paul moves on, he's a missionary, he moves on to another city in Macedonia, on to Berea, and then after that to Greece, and then he sends Timothy back to Thessalonica to check on these believers. And then when he gets back there, Timothy spends time with them, meets Paul in Greece and says, here's what's going down there. And the people, the believers in Thessalonica, had some questions that they wanted to ask the pastor that started their church. One of the questions was about our loved ones who died in Christ. Are they going to miss the rapture? Paul came preaching about the second coming of Jesus. The Lord is coming again. He's going to rapture his church out. He's going to snatch believers out of this world, take them home to be with him. The believers at Thessalonica believed that, and what was happening, their loved ones, their mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, friends, began to die before Jesus returned. And they were wondering if they were going to miss out on the rapture. So Paul addresses that here in 1 Thessalonians, but they had another question for him. They wanted Pastor Paul to answer this question about suffering and the existence of God. How can we talk about a God who is holy and righteous, but yet look at all the evil and the suffering and the natural disasters that go on in the world? And they wanted Paul to clear that up because it didn't make sense to them. They were telling Timothy, tell Paul, we've had more suffering since we became Christians than we did before we got saved. Because their suffering was not because of sin, their suffering was because of salvation. You can get in trouble obeying God. And they wanted to know, what does God have to say about it? Can you make some sense out of the suffering that we've been going through? And that's how we get this letter. Paul writes to them. And it's not just the believers at Thessalonica. If you and I would be honest, there have been times that we've had questions about evil and suffering and the existence of God. That look at all the pain, look at all the problems, look at the social injustice, look at the racism and the sexism and the ageism, look at the breakdown of the family, infidelity, betrayal, look at poverty and hunger and wars and rumors of wars and all the crazy things that happen globally and nationally and locally and personally. And there have been times that you and I have tried to make sense out of this. And I believe that we need to make sense out of it. We need to get another look at this, because some of us, our view is so far from what is a reality in terms of God and the existence of evil. I had to preach just this past Monday in Charlotte. And I go to Charlotte and I end up at New Beginnings Church, a great church, Dr. Michael Henderson, and a great ministry there. I preached about making it through storms and how to survive difficulty in your life and overcome that and be victorious. When I finished preaching, stood down front and shook hands, a young lady walks up to me and says, thank you for that word. It came at just the right time. I've been going through a storm. I needed that. And she said, my daughter died. And my heart went out there. In my spirit, I just began to pray for her. And I just can't even identify with a parent, a child dying like that. And my heart went out to her. My daughter died. And then I asked her, I said, well, how long ago was this? She said it was 11 years ago. And she just burst out into tears. And she was crying and crying. And then she said this, I don't know why God would punish me like this. Here is a woman that was pushed into depression for 11 years. But she thought she served a God that would punish her by killing her child. The next day, I got on a plane and went to Grand Prairie, Texas, where I preached Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And after that first night preaching there, they asked me to do a book signing. So they had my books, and people were buying them and getting in line. I'm signing my name and talking to people and all that. And a woman walks up to me, and she has my book, Dialogue with My Sons. She said, I've heard about this book. I need this book. I want to use it as a source. She said, I started a mentor program where I connect young boys with Christian men. Because I think these boys need to see what a real man looks like. So God led me to start this program. And she told me I started it because my son died. And And I did this in honor of my son. And I said, well, how long ago? She said, that was 2 years ago. She said, my son was a Christian. He loved the Lord. He had just graduated from college. She said, ask anybody. And she pointed around, ask anybody in this church. He loved seniors and what he did in the community. And he was a great young man. And he died. And when he died, she was pushed into her purpose and started a mentor program connecting boys with Christian men in the name of her son. Two people that went to the same type of experience. One was pushed into deep depression for 11 years, and the other was pushed into their purpose. All of us go through something, but the issue is, can we make sense out of what we're going through? Because too many of us have this wrong idea as to who God is and what God is all about. Y'all, God doesn't have to kill anybody to punish you. He just deal with you directly. So this idea of who God is has pushed many of us into depression and dismay and disillusion. And so we need to make sense. There is something in the NFL that's called instant replay. Because sometimes official will make a call and the coach doesn't agree with the call. And so the coach is able to throw a challenge flag. I want to challenge that. I want to take another look at that. Because the way that official is viewing it is not the way I view it. And there's so many cameras at that game that show so many different angles that when they have the instant replay, they look at it from different angles to get a different view, to get a different perspective. And sometimes the call is reverse because the way one person saw it wasn't really what happened. Y'all, God is from everlasting to everlasting. He has no beginning and no ending. God is able to see, the old preacher said, God can see the when and the where. God can see the then and the there. God can see the past, present, and future and see it all at the same time. You and I are so limited. We are so finite. We are stuck in the now. And so we don't always get to see things at the angle we need to see it. So what I want to do today is to throw this challenge flag on some of us and have a different view. Look at it from a different angle, the suffering that we experience in this world, so that we can make sense of the suffering. Preacher, I see what you're up to, and I need this because I look at what's happening globally. I look at the hunger and the poverty, and I look at the devastation. I look at the earthquakes and the natural disasters, and I am interested. My own family's gone through something. I've been through illnesses and sickness and disease, and I want to know. What's up with this? How can we make sense? Here's what Paul says. The first thing you got to do is to get your theology right. I say get your theology, your understanding of God and who God is and the knowledge of God and what God is all about. Because what theology does, theology gives us a different view. Theology gives us, it adds context to your crisis. Theology interjects a different perception because we're so finite that we see things only from an earthly perspective. But God gets a spiritual panoramic view of everything that is taking place. So in order for me to understand the suffering that we face, I got to get theology right. I got to make sure I know who God is and what God is all about. And the only way that can happen is through God revealing himself to us. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So if I'm going to get his ways and his thoughts, it is as he reveals himself to us. Here's what Paul does. He answers their question about suffering and the existence of God by telling them, get your theology straight. Watch what he says in verse 3. He says that God is God and Father. He said, whatever you're facing in your life, whatever you're dealing with, whatever goes on, understand who God is. God is God and Father. When you talk about him being God, y'all can preach all year on a series on God and not scratch the surface. He is God. He's infinite. Let me throw the three big words every preacher uses. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. He is omniscient. God knows everything. There is nothing that God doesn't know. But he's not just God. He's also Father. When we pray our Father. We can call him, we can cry out Abba. We can call him Daddy because he is our Father. As Father, he is producer. He produced us. It is not we that have made ourselves, but it is he that have made us. He produced. He is a protector. He's not a deadbeat dad that gives birth to a child and then you don't see him anymore. He's protector. He is provider. My God shall supply, not some of, but all your need. He's provider. So he's God and Father. He is God and Father. He is the omnipotent producer. He is the omnipresent protector. He is the omniscient provider. That whatever you need to be, God can make you that. He has the power to produce it. God, wherever you are, God is already there. God's got your back no matter where you find yourself. And he is an omniscient provider. My God shall supply, but he knows when to supply, how to supply, who to use to supply, and when. I wish I had somebody that knew he's God and Father. Verse 3, verse 4. Verse 4 says that he loves and chooses you. I know we want to address suffering. You cannot address suffering unless you understand and get your theology straight. God loves and chooses you. King James Version. Beloved. He loves you. Election. You've been elected. You've been selected. You've been predestined. This thing is preordained. This thing is prearranged. You're saved because God elected you to be saved. You have the faith because God gave you the faith to have the faith to put in him. He selected you. He chose you. He loved you. Here's why I got to tell you this. Because I don't want you to think because there's a problem in your life that God doesn't love you. Because you lost a job. Your family fell apart. You got a bad diagnosis from the doctor. Now you think that God doesn't love you. God does love you. You got to get your theology straight. God loves you. Watch this. There are those who believes that God either doesn't love me or God doesn't have the power to change my situation. Because I'm going through these problems, pains, and persecution. And since I'm in this suffering season, evidently either God doesn't love me or God doesn't have the power to change it. Because if God loved me and had the power to change it, then I wouldn't be going through it. So people think, because I'm in this jam, God must not love me and must not have the power. Y'all, let me help you understand something. God loves you, and God has the power to change it. But don't forget, God is God. Which means God is sovereign. That means God can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he gets ready, use whomever he please, and do it right well, and don't have to ask our permission. He's God. It doesn't mean he doesn't love you. The next time you question the love of God, look at Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Next time you question the love of God, look at Calvary. God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God loves you. The next time you question his power, look at the resurrection. Because Jesus died on the cross, they put him in a cave, rolled a stone in front of it, put a seal of the king on it, guards in front of it. 3 days later, we say he got up. The Bible says God raised him from the dead. And if God's got the power to raise a dead Jesus, he's got the power to handle whatever you're going through. He loves you. He's got the power to change it. But he can do whatever he gets ready to do whenever he wants to. He's a sovereign God. I got to get the theology straight. Verse 5 says that God gives his word and his Holy Spirit. Yes, you go through problems. Yes, you go through pains, troubles, trials, tribulations, hate, hatred, and harassments, and heartache. You go through all that. I understand. Catching hell and all that. But God gives you, watch this, his word and his Holy Spirit. God gives you scripture and spirit. He gives you principles and power. Y'all, too many of us are trying to go through our problems without the resources that God has given to us to deal with the problem. He's given us principles out of his word and power from his spirit. So here's what some of us do. We spend all our time in His Word, and we memorize the Word, and we meditate upon the Word, and we study God's Word, and we speak God's Word. We do all that with the Word, but know nothing of the power of God's Holy Spirit. We never yield to the Spirit. We never pray in the Spirit. We never operate in the Spirit. We never do anything. We don't submit to the Spirit. We never feel with the Spirit. So we got His principles, but don't have the power to do anything to make it work. And then you got others who operate in the power. We got the Holy Spirit. I yield to the Spirit. I'm anointed by the Spirit. I speak in the Spirit. Got all that power, but don't have the knowledge that comes from the principles of God's Word. God said, my people perish not because they don't have power, but because they don't have knowledge. So we got all this power and don't know what to do. When you face your problems, you got to face it with the principles of God's Word and the power of God's Holy Spirit. And I guarantee you, everything is going to be all right. You gotta get this theology straight. Verse 9 says that God is a God who is alive and true. Because there are those who say that God is either dead or God doesn't exist. Y'all, God is God, and He's alive, and He's true. Just because there's suffering and pain and disease and heartache doesn't mean that God doesn't. God is alive. I wish y'all were getting y'all theology straight. I'm in verse 9. He's alive. I know what it is. You're saying, well, why? What's all this evil then? What's up with all this suffering? When God created the world, He did not create evil and suffering. When God created the world, He created a perfect world, perfect place with perfect people. And then He gave those perfect people the ability to choose, made us not robots and androids, but free moral agents with the gift of choice. We took that gift of choice, and rather than to choose to do things God's way, we chose to do things outside the will of God. And when Adam and Eve sinned, that's when suffering entered into the world. That's when evil, there's always going to be consequences to sin. And the consequence to the original sin was suffering and evil came into the world. And we're getting mad at God for something God didn't do. There are people now talking about how can there be a God with all that hunger? All that hunger over in Haiti. There can't be a God. No. The problem is not with hunger and food. The problem is with distribution. Because God gave enough food. But He thought if He gave you more than you need, that you send it to Haiti so they could eat. He didn't know you would eat to your full and then throw the rest of it away. Y'all ain't helping me preach this. So the problem is not with food, it's with distribution. Because God thought, if I bless you the way I bless you, then you'll turn around and bless somebody else. Yo, we talk about poverty. There's enough resources in this world for everybody in the world. But when we take our resources and we get all we can and we sit on the can and then we poison the rest, y'all know that's what the problem is. But when God blesses you and He gives you more than you need, it's because He knows there's somebody else in need. And God trusted you and I to be able to share those resources. Yo, God is alive and well. It's some of us that are dead. So whatever I'm going through, I got my theology right. I know God is alive. And because He lives, I know all things work together for good to them that love God. Because He lives, I know no weapon formed against me is going to be able to prosper. Because He lives, I know my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Because He lives, I know that nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Because He lives, I know that as long as I believe, all things are possible. Because He lives, I know I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Do I have a witness in here? I know who holds the future, and life is worth the living. I wish I had somebody that got your theology right. Because He lives. Wait, you can't just get your theology right. If we're going to make sense of suffering, you got to get your sociology right. Preacher, what is sociology? The study of society, understanding society. It's actually, a sociology is about how you and I live. How do we relate to each other? How do we deal with life? How do we respond when trouble comes? How do we respond even in good times? How do we handle the hard times? How do we deal with life? That is sociology. And if I'm going to understand and make sense of my suffering, I got to get sociology right. Now, here's what I got to be careful. I cannot try to use sociology to shape my theology. But I got to take my theology that is revealed by God, take my theology to deal with my sociology. Too many of us take these seasons of suffering that we go through, these isolated incidents of trials and troubles that we face, and then we try, based on society, what's happening with us in society, try to come to some conclusion about who God is. No, you start with who God is to deal with what you're facing in society. Are y'all getting this?
Okay, here's what's all right. We're going to have to stop the tape right there today, but we'll pick right back up there tomorrow. That was Pastor Jeffrey Johnson, and he was talking about making sense out of suffering. That's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.